All right, good morning, everybody. My name is Eamon Kelly.
My name is William Derry.
And welcome to our second podcast of Daryl Huff's How to Lie with Statistics. Now, we read chapters 4 through 6 of this, but before we kick into those chapters, I understand that there have been some questions from somebody by the name of Mark Miles, whoever that guy is, and he asked us some questions regarding our last podcast. So before we kick into what we are going to discuss, we're just going to go over some of the questions that he's asking. The first one being, quote, and this is from the introduction, the first sentence, I think, there are three kinds of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. Now he's asking how this relates to the introduction. Well, obviously, it's pretty self-explanatory. There are three kinds of lies, and for example, the basic kind of lies, which means, you know, I was out going shopping, and you told someone you were supposed to stay home. Damn lies mean, you know, it's your baby. And statistics is obviously the most interesting kind of lie, because they're trying to introduce us through this book that statistics are like the most popular and confusing way of lying. And usually it's supposed to be just lies and damn lies, but by adding the third, which is statistics, it shows us that this is the most complicated yet effective way of lying. Like, if you agree with that.
No, I agree with that. Exactly what you said, that the three that you mentioned, the three types of lies, damn lies, and statistics, they set the foundation for the book. So I think that it connects to the introduction because it gives us a brief summary of what the book brings to the table. Mm-hmm.
And now we have this paragraph. So before we discuss, I'm just going to read it to you. Quote, "A river cannot, we are told, rise above its source. Well, it can seem to if there's a pumping station concealed somewhere about. It is equally true that the result of a sampling study is no better than the sample it is based on. By the time the data has been filtered through layers of statistical manipulation and reduced to a decimal pointed average, the result being to take on an aura of conviction that a closer look at the sampling would delay." Now, he's asking us to say this in our own words, and I understand that you have your own theory of what it is.
Yeah, my theory is, and you can take it for what it is mm-hmm. that the statisticians paint a mirage for us. They may not tell us exactly what the statistics behind it is, but they tell us, you know, what we need to hear, what we need to see. So in my mind, I see a picture, I guess you can imagine a river, and maybe it's not overflow, maybe it doesn't have a pump station, but in our mind, it does. I just think that the statisticians are a bit lazy, so if they were to truly do all the stats behind the, let's say this example, that it would be too much and probably be too hard to explain, so they paint a simple picture for their consumers to understand.
I mean, true, I think I see what you're saying. So, are you you're saying that people are using statistics to try to confuse the others or like, just trying to make sure that people understand what they're trying to say without actually having to use stats because you say they're quote lazy. I don't know if you're in Mr. Baird's history class, we were learning about Enron, the company that went bankrupt back in 2001, and they were actually using statistical knowledge to try to maximize profit, but ended up actually creating false information and everybody got confused and then went bankrupt, and it laid off 5,000 workers, and that's all based on people lying using statistics. And so even though someone can clearly have their benefits with lying, something can seriously go wrong and mess up the whole company. So that's a good example. All right, so the next one is, what does this quote mean? "Hardly anybody is exactly normal in any way." Well, obviously, right off the bat, this is true, because like there's no such thing as a normal human being, especially at a school like SLA, for example. There's like no such thing as a normal person, and there's no such thing as a normal person in the whole planet, you know. They have their weird talents, they have their personality quirks, they have their pros and their cons. And so you don't really need to use statistics to back that up. You know, it's just pretty self-explanatory that everybody's not normal in their own way. Everybody has a fantastic talent. Everybody has a personality quirk, you know, something that just makes them human. And human does not equal normal. And then when we see an average reported, what do we see to ask besides what kind of average is being used? Well, I remember in the beginning of chapter 4, it's talking about Peter and Linda's IQ, and it said that Peter's IQ is 98 and Linda is 101, and that the average is 100. And now they're saying that Peter's IQ is supposedly below average, but later in the chapter it explains that it just because you happen to be below 100 does not mean that you're below average. because at a certain point, it explains that there's a certain range that's beyond, like, below 98 and above 100. That range is supposedly is essentially the normal range. Is that, and that you kind of need to explain yourself as to what in actuality normal is and what kind of average is being used. And you can't really use this one singular number to calculate average because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. You can't create an average with just one.
Yeah.
One example.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be more of a larger data sample.
Yeah. And like, and this relates to, you know, you have the chapter 4, you know, to talk about averages and using, like using Peter and like Peter and Linda's IQ as an example. I think that using the term average can be pretty confusing unless you seriously know what you're talking about. You know, say for instance, you know, my average bowling score is 2 something or like 200 or something like that. You wouldn't necessarily think that they score that exact same number all the time. What they're trying to say is that they bowled thousands of times. And when you add them all up and divide it by how many games you played, that's the number, and that's what average means. But people these days aren't really confused by that term. But still, there is a range. Like, for instance, if I say my average was 280, then the range would be somewhere between a perfect score, which is 300, and, like, 250. That would be the range of average, not just that one number that I just said. Another thing is, we mentioned in the last podcast that the pictures are pretty both entertaining and they're very useful to read, and not just the graphs, but like especially in the beginning of chapter 5 there's a quote that says I think it's like the bottom paragraph. It says, "When numbers in tabular form are taboo and words will not do the work well, as often the cause, there's only one answer left: draw a picture." And at first I was confused because you can't just draw a picture and show everybody. But, so you know how we've been saying that using statistics and, like, fake numbers can essentially fool a human being into thinking that that's true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I finally understood that using pictures, you know, say, for instance, you know, there are people across the world that don't care about reading numbers. They're not a math person. They don't really want to be learning more math. I know I'm one of those people. I would want to see visual representation of what they're talking about. So, you know, like, you know those old cartoon shows when they're trying to, you know, when these silly cartoon characters are trying to explain why things are going wrong, and they have this fake graph and everything, and a big shocky line down the center, that, you know, they're essentially trying to make stuff up by using a drawing to make it, to further prove that they're smart people, but they're actually trying to fool the humans by using these pictures. And there's a lot of graphs in these next two chapters, for example, the one on page 62 and 63 of just the guy's face. I can't quite remember what exactly they're talking about, but it's in terms of currency. I can see that the explanatory value is numbers or something, or letters, and the response variable is currency, I think. But yeah, but going back on topic, I think that using pictures in a combination with fake numbers and fake averages, like we already said, can be a useful tool to fool a human being into thinking that what they're saying is actually true based on the supposed evidence that they have. If that makes sense to you.
No, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on these last past two chapters that we just read? So like, any opinions or like?
Well, I think the past chapters have been informational. With the G-Wiz graph, I know...
The G-Wiz graph.
Yeah.
Like, what's that? So, like, everybody can understand.
The G-Wiz graph is... That is... I'm trying to find
it. Well, first of all, what's your main point that you're trying to say?
I was saying that the G-Wiz graph simplifies the, you know, the data.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much my main point.
It's like, what do you mean by simplifying the data?
Well, I mean, it can make it... It definitely does have... It has different tricks that it uses to manipulate the report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just what I say. So, like, now in your opinion, do you think that, like, which of the methods that we just talked about, in your opinion, is the most effective to fool people with? Is it, like, the use of the word average, or is it the drawings, or is it something in the previous chapters we discussed, or just...
I mean, it could possibly be the pictures. Mm-hmm. I feel like the pictures are more visible, mm-hmm. you know, with numbers. Someone has to, you know, want to look at the numbers, but pictures just kind of hard to avoid them.
Yeah.
Just a right dab on the page, you have to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you'll look at the picture, and then you'll see, like you were saying about from the cartoon, you'll see a graph that maybe it looks linear, but it may not be linear.
Yeah. And something I just want to point out that I find kind of a funny, you know, like there are graphs that are actually 100% true. You know, say for instance, you look at the school district of Philly website and you find, you know, graphs of like, you know, the SAT rate or Keystone's rate, you know, like how well they did. And then they look at this book and say, it's a well put together graph, and I think it really sells the information well. It's obviously true. But it's a book called How to Lie with Statistics, and so I'm assuming that all these graphs are fake, and so that doesn't help anybody at all. You can't really tell the difference between what's real and what's fake. And yeah, I think that's a good stopping point for this podcast. We will be here hopefully next week to talk about the last chapters of the book, and See, I'm totally ready to finish the book. What about you?
Yeah, me too. I think it should be a good ending.
Yeah, a very good ending to a weird way to lie with statistics. All right, we will see you guys next week.